Another episode of the show today. We have finally a catch up on Nashville. This is the first time the four of us have been together since that trip. We recap being at George's, that whole experience. We do a little drink review from our friends at Back Pocket Brewery, sent us a couple items to try on the podcast. And this Northwestern thing, what's going on there? That conversation starts about 32 minutes in. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Now we're back. This is the Friendship Podcast, and in Friendship Podcast fashion, we are going to do friendship things, and that is by starting off this podcast here with a beer review from the great people at Back Pocket Brewery, who happened to send all three of us, actually all four of us, my apologies, G-Bone, a care package of four mixed beers and a four-pack of mules. And for that, I'd like to say thank you. You guys must really like us because you spent $21.20 on shipping for an 8-pack to my door. So thank you for that. And that's how we're going to kick off the podcast. Fellas, what's up?
That was a great little...
I'm interested to see your score since you've only been drinking for 2 months, right?
Yeah. First of all, Grant, why are you not in here? Do you act like you're not part of this podcast? What's going on? What's going on here?
No, I'm here. I don't know what you're talking about.
At this point, you are the fourth member. There is no more excluding Grant or sitting in the background. You're a part of this.
Hey, but you don't have any equity. I ain't giving up shit for my 33%, cuz.
That's true. And Kevin, by the way, quick update on the attack. I have attack number 4, and we're going to end up with like a 90, potentially 100%, but somewhere in the 90s.
We only needed a 2-star audio, so that's great stuff.
That should bring our attack up. But Drake hit that on the head. Drake, that was a fantastic little read you did for the old Back Pocket Brewery there.
Shout out Back Pocket. Tell you what, they got a few good brews, couple that I did not like, but hey, to each their own.
Yeah. And that's part of what we're gonna do here. This is an honest review. We were not paid. The payment is the alcohol. As you know,
I already drank these beers, so I'm going to have myself a break the bank.
Yeah, Drake fucked this one up and already drank his beers. When I told everybody in the group specifically that we were going to wait until a podcast to do so, it is what it is. Drake doesn't listen to anybody.
That beer tastes like I just chewed a weed nug.
Okay, well, let's be specific here. Drake is participating with a beer that is not from Back Pocket. It's some, like, I don't know what it is.
It's it's actually craft brewed in Fairfield, New Jersey, because buddy brought it over from Jersey.
I do want to mention quickly that the title of this episode is going to be something about the Northwestern drama that's going on. If you would like to only listen to that and not four bros talk about beer and then some other stuff catching up before we get to the fit stuff, I will put the timestamp of the fit stuff in the description. But it will most likely be somewhere around like 35 or 40 minutes to the back half of this episode. Not only are we going to be reviewing a beer tonight, it's going to be – they sent us four beers and then a four-pack of their new mule drink. Tonight it's going to be the Tiki Sour, a lovely
– Fluve, you seem like a sour guy.
I can't even tell you that I've ever had a sour.
They fucking rule.
I am on the opposite spectrum of Drake. I am not a sour guy whatsoever.
Okay, so this – we'll have a nice little, and I don't know what Grant is. Like Kevin said, Grant has, Grant only a few months really of alcohol because we know Grant would never have.
Because we would never hire a mischievous little felon.
No, we would. Someone who would partake in underage drinking would.
I do like a sour. I don't know if it's my go-to.
Yeah, crack the fucking sour. Know. Let's see what's up, dude.
All right, let's get this on. That sounds nice, huh? We should
it's been nothing better than cracking a beer at the end of the day.
Let me get a smell test on this.
Dude,
smells like beer.
Good. Kev turns his head.
Dude, I just don't like sours.
That's fruity. That's fruity.
I've never had a sour that I particularly liked.
This particularly
thing fucking punched me in the face.
Tiki sour, tropical sour. So it's got that vibe on the can. This is a, I know this is what people in the beer world do. They like to tell you how much percent alcohol it is. It appears to be a 6.8%. I don't, is that high or low?
That's high for beer. Yeah.
This is what?
6.8%.
That's high for beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like if you're like in the IPA world, that's
this IPA standard. Right here is an 8.5.
Wow. Yeah.
Let it's me be not honest. Bad. I don't know that they sent
what are we
me.
Doing here?
I'm not sure they sent me tiki sour.
They did. They sent us all the same fucking thing.
They sent me something called like maybe it was, but I could have swore it was like strawberry something. I don't know. But whatever they sent me was awesome.
So I think I'm getting hints of strawberry potentially here.
There's definitely.
Intense whatever they put into it. Flavors come in waves, like being stranded on a desert island with a beer and a cabana brewed with pineapple, papaya,
pineapple.
Mango,
that's what I'm getting.
Key lime, coconut, vanilla, spices, and lactose.
I'm getting a pineapple on the back end of the experience.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and there haven't been too many sours that I didn't like, but that's still high up on my sours list.
I think. By Kevin's reaction and his just general aversion to sours, I think I actually like this more than Kevin likes. And I'm not a beer guy.
You most likely are, yeah.
I guess we could go 1 to 10 scale.
Apparently.
What?
We're going to start with the youngest, so you're going to get a theory.
I'll go I think I like this. I think this is like a 7. I'll go 7.7 for me out of 10.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good considering good the wide spectrum of beers. Now, everybody listening, you know the boy doesn't drink. So this review, this score doesn't hold a lot of weight. But on beers that I've had, I'm gonna put this one right in that range too. I'll give it a 7.1 out of 10.
I said it before, I'll say it again. I don't like sours. I don't think I've ever had a sour in my life that I'd rate higher than a 5 out of 10. I would rather not drink than drink sours. So this is like a 3 out of 10 for me.
Okay. Drake, it was like a high, like an 8 something out of 10.
It was, I would say it's like between a 7.5 and an 8. I've had better sours, but sours are always going to be high up on my list. And I'd say it's at least a 7.5 up to 8.
Cool. That just squirted all over the mic. Now we're going to try the mule. I'm much more interested in the mules.
This is pretty much all that Alyssa drinks is Moscow Mules. So
Lauren, a huge fan of mules as well.
Yeah.
This is the Horseshoe Mule Cocktail made in Iowa. We've got 7.5% on this guy. So this is a little more mule made with vodka, ginger beer, and lime. Smell test. Oh, the lime comes off heavy on the nose.
You know what? This is going to be a slightly...
Wow.
Asterisk score, because this would be significantly better poured over some crushed ice.
Well, always, right? But that first sips is impressing the kid right now. Damn, that's tasty.
Doesn't taste like 7.5.
No.
Which is a compliment.
Yeah. Drake, you drank all these as well?
I did.
Okay. I didn't know you were such a drinker.
I'm not.
You just...
Because you're going to come to find out that I took one sip of that there Moscow Mule and I dumped it directly down the drain. It's
no.
one of the worst tasting things I've ever drank. And I would not give it better than a 2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, I think this is...
Do you like Moscow Mule in general?
As Kevin, I like a good, proper Moscow Mule that doesn't taste like I just bit into the ginger on the side of a fucking sushi plate. And it also tastes like it has 35 grams of sugar in it. And
it's sweet. It's sweet.
I mean, no disrespect to Back Pocket. I love your guys' sour. That mule fucking stinks.
I think this mule has received generally pretty high praise.
I like it. I think Drake is right. The ginger is a touch strong.
I think the lime is strong too. They both.
I think you got to pour this over crushed ice, and it's going to completely change the whole profile of
it. Okay. And it very much could. I did not do that. I don't have a copper mug. If I had like a chilled copper mug and some good ice, maybe it would have diluted it, and then throw a little extra. Fuck, I don't know. I don't know how you dilute that ginger taste though. It smacked me in my face.
It hits you in the nose. It gets you in the nose a little bit. As a non-drinker here, that is a strong. It's a strong mule taste. I like it. I like it. I'm giving that one higher than the sour. That one gets up into the mid sevens, maybe 7.6 for me.
It's hilarious how different a palate we have.
It is.
Grant,
This is probably the second mule I've probably ever had in my life. I've never really explored the mules before, so I feel like I don't. I think I definitely prefer the sour over it. So I'll put it like I'll give it a 6.3 on the mule.
Okay.
But I think I enjoyed it more than Drake did.
This is gonna have to be a completely different scale than the beer scale for me. I don't think it's right to put these things in the same category because they're just not.
It's a cocktail.
It's a cocktail, it's not a beer. So as far as like mules I've had, it's solid. I don't think you're ever gonna get as good of a mule out of a can as you'll get.
I was gonna say this is a can. This is a can cocktail, right? So you got it's.
So is it on the canned cocktail list, or just on the straight Moscow Mule?
I was putting it on just the straight, like taste pleasure list, 1 to 10, just bang. No, it was just bang 1 to 10.
I think it gets value though with being in a can because now you can take your cocktail on the road, right?
I think I would enjoy one any more than that, and the ginger is just going to overwhelm me. So I'm going to give it a 6.9. 6.
Oh, Gary and Kevin tie it up.
Disavow on the cocktail on the road, by the way.
Cocktail on the road, meaning you could take it with you somewhere and then drink it there, not while you're driving. Don't do that.
Disavow.
Which, by the way, operating under the influence, that is now we can check that one off for this podcast, which is the last time we had people who were under the influence of alcohol on this podcast. We made comments about I forget his fucking name.
Was this your bachelor party night?
Yeah, we've talked about it like 14
or is it like the day before podcast. Your wedding or something like that?
Yes, and then we called almost to a T exactly Oliver Martin's career.
Yeah, we did.
And people thought like, wow, these guys are dumb as shit getting on a podcast, running their mouths. And then literally everything we said was true. Anyway, so maybe not the best night to, as we work into some heavier stuff here with the hazing sexual stuff.
Fuck
going
them.
On.
We can make fun of those little weirdos.
Okay. Well, that not necessarily the intent that I was coming to this podcast with, but sure. We'll see where it goes.
Probably going to make fun of some people.
Okay. So. Well, this is a comedy podcast. Everybody take that with a grain of salt.
I would be concerned if Drake wasn't making fun of people.
That's true. Back pocket real quick before we wrap up.
I'm excited to get into those other couple beers that they sent us, though. But sours and mules just ain't my forte,
sure.
Not my repertoire.
And Kev, possibly Grant, there's some legs taking some steps into a opportunity there where we are going to have a live podcast / potential meet and greet.
Could it be in the fall?
They would like to do it right around the first game.
Okay, I can live with that because I'll give them this free shout out right here is that they have one of the best Oktoberfests I've ever had, if not the best.
Okay. Well, I imagine that when we go in and kind of hype up our little meet and greet / live show from Back Pocket in Coralville, that you will be able to get one of those.
It's called Hawktoberfest, and I love it.
For free. So
keep them coming
and whatever appetizers and food and other drinks that we want probably comped. So that'll be a fun one as well. Drake, you're probably not going to make it. Unfortunately,
some pretzels and some flatbreads, baby.
Ooh, Yeah.
Don't mind if I do.
So, again, thank you, Back Pocket. And that it's literally that easy. You can take up 15 minutes of real estate on our show if you just send us free shit.
Back Pocket, I love you.
Grant probably thanks you more than that.
We're going to start doing remember when it was like middle of COVID and like people just started sending Dave Portnoy shit to unpack?
Yeah.
I will unpack and use anything that is sent to me.
We'll unbox whatever.
And it will get glowing reviews.
Yeah.
Best kind of beer in the world, free beer. So thank you, Back Pocket.
True. Let's do this quickly. This is the first time that the four of us have sat down post Nashville on an episode. Real quick, Grant, I know the people in the Discord wanted to hear your thoughts on finally meeting the three of us, your experience from Nashville, any highlights that you had. Kevin, Drake, you guys can add yours as well. But we never really recapped or debriefed that whole thing. We just kind of put up the episodes that we recorded there and then never said anything about it. So Grant, your thoughts on the Nashville experience tied in you?
Nashville as a whole is probably like the coolest 3 days of my career, probably ever. Probably already peaked, but I'm happy it did. It was great meeting the three of you guys, of course. Lots of Hattie B's. That was awesome. George is a saint. Super nice. I always appreciate people who don't have to be super nice and just genuinely are, because that's just the person they are. And George and everyone at the event was definitely like that. And shout out, Drake is like, apparently is like, I knew Drake was friends with Theo Von, but like, I think he's best friends with Theo Von, based off of the experience that tied in you. So that was super cool to see as well. But no, I'm just super grateful to have been a part of it. It was super, it was just really cool. So thanks to you guys. Thanks to George. And it was really cool.
It was cool meeting you, Grant. People may not know this. We've never seen Grant in person before
until we were in Nashville together. Yeah.
And what a guy he is. They come to pick me up in the airport and guy insists on taking the back seat.
Let Kevin have the front.
Yeah. What a guy.
I like the chauffeur effect of the back seat.
True. Yeah. It was an incredible experience. It was a little less novel to Drake because Drake has spent time there and trained at the barn a bunch and been on that property and been with all those dudes. But for me, it was really cool. I don't get out of the fucking house. So it was fun to be around like the dudes again, working out, fucking just hanging, being bros, playing
just
disc golf.
Out Kittle's place. Yeah, I was.
Yeah, working out in the gym, you know, walking around, just living the best life possible.
What did you think of his facility, G-Bo?
It's the, like, there was a moment when we were sitting in there. It was on Tuesday morning. Like, we just got to the building, and I was like, I'm sitting at George Kittle's breakfast table in his barn, next to him, and David Bakhtiari is at this table, and I'm with all the walk on stuff, and like, of course, more NFL guys are showing up, like Trent Taylor. And it was just sitting there, I was like, what in the world? Like, how am I here? Like, I don't know how I ended up here, but I'm like super grateful.
Neither do we, Bubba.
So that's like the first thing I think of for sure when I think of the barn, but it's an unbelievable facility, and it sounds like it's only getting better. There's a little tour video coming up soon, so for everyone to see it. But Patreon gets it first, so definitely sign up there. It's amazing. He lives the dream. Like, he just has everyone come to his house. All of his bros come hang out. Everyone, his family's always there. Like, George Kittle has built the perfect house on the perfect piece of land to just live the best life.
Well, and that's the funny thing is we actually didn't even see his house. We were on his property, and we did not even see his actual.
But that's why it's perfect.
Yeah. Because
he can host people on this already insanely impressive place. And then he has his whole still private life over it in I'm sure another beautiful residence.
Yeah. And
not so private when you have the hustle and bustle of what he's got going on down there, though.
My God. Let's
the guy has opened up his life to the world.
He allows access like no other. Monday, we were told, hey, I'm shooting a commercial. We need you. Like, George is like,
we talked about it on his episode.
Oh, yeah. And they bring in a goddamn army. Bud Light sent an army out to this location in Tennessee. And it's like, for George, that's just every, it's not every day for him. He's like, this is a little bit irregular. But the next day, Barstool, Big Cat, PMT is out at the barn. They're shooting a podcast. Like, it's just George has ascended to a one in.
I mean, that PMT is one of the most popular podcasts in the country,
in the world.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
Millions of downloads.
They are traveling to him,
right,
to do an episode.
Right. Yeah. And he's so... You're right,
That's Grant. Imagine Joe Rogan is traveling across the country just to get an interview.
Right.
It's the same.
And
scale, basically.
In a similar sense that Grant was sort of alluding to, we kind of stayed out of the way when Barstool got there. And at one point I'm walking around and George goes, "Kluv, have you met the Barstool guys?" And I was like, "No, I'm staying out of the way." And he goes, no, come over here. He goes, "Big Cat, this is Tyler Kluver. He runs the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast." And I'm like, I looked at George like, hey, he doesn't know who that is. but George is the kind of guy who introduces
told
you.
Him to tell Dave to buy us.
Yeah. It was like, he's the kind of guy who introduces you as if you are just as big time. And they're just people, right? But I mean, they do some shit at a level that we could only dream of on this show. We damn near killed ourselves with the amount of Hattie B's that we ate.
Fuck yeah.
Kevin scarfed down Waffle House, and then 20 minutes later, all of it came up in the hotel room. It wasn't even
20 minutes.
It was an unbelievable experience over the course of the 3 days.
Your boy was hangry, demanded to go to Waffle House before we got to the hotel. And then I started in on the waffle about halfway done. I'm just like, we need to go.
We need to go.
We need to leave.
I do want to give a quick shout out before we move on from Nashville. As Grant alluded to, he put together, this is all Grant, he put together a barn gym tour, 8-minute little video. Really, really well done, Grant. Only available to Patreon right now. Will be released to the public at some point, but not for a while. So if you want to go see that and more behind the scenes kind of stuff like that, head on over to Patreon. Shout out to the Patreon. We just had another couple people sign up at the top tier. We got some people that are literally carrying this brand right now. So the army is strong.
Can I shout out? I got a... what's going on here?
No, go for it. Keep talking.
I was going to say, I got writing stuff too coming on the Patreon. Yep. A lot of blogs about Iowa, the Big Ten, coming as well if you're interested.
Yes, part of a new perk will be Grant will be actually putting out written pieces.
Come on.
Let's go.
Maybe we can get Drake to do a written piece.
I can write.
Cite your sources, you know?
Cite these nuts, pussy.
MLA format, please.
It's creedthoughts.com.
Know what MLA format? That brings back, MLA format was the bane of my existence at one point. Because, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't give a fuck about it either. So, I would just improperly say, I would go to, whatever the source website that you could just type in the internet, and then stick the URLs in there and it would spit you out a site page. I would just copy and paste that, and I would did every single paper I wrote to the end of the time I fucking wrote papers, and I did not care.
Nope. I never cited a source right in my life.
Yeah.
Never.
Me neither. I just like the indentations had to be perfect and everything had to be in the perfect order. Yeah, exactly. Once that website became like well known, I don't think there's a single high school in the country that is actually doing the citations themselves.
Correct. So Nashville was great. If you subscribe to the Patreon and support our show, buy our merch, listen to the show consistently, we are able to go and do more cool shit like that Nashville stuff. So it is what it is. This happened damn near 2 months ago. And I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it. Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta is set to retire here. And I don't know if it's August. I think it's August where his where he's not or he's done or whatever. But he's getting out. And this is something that has been a lot of people's wish for a while. A lot of people don't like Barta. A lot of people look at the lawsuits that he's been a part of and cost the university, and they put that all on him. Sure, some of that is on him. But this is sort of big news, not only because he's been there for 17 years, but he's also the one, because of the way that Coach Ferentz and Coach Brian Ferentz's family conflict plays out, is he's the one that Brian reports to. Because Brian can't report to his dad. And so a lot of people view this as having a lot of implications on the football program. And I don't know. I find it interesting. There's a lot of talk about I think she's an associate AD. Beth Getz, I believe is her name, stepping in as the...
Was the AD at Ball State, I believe, before taking an associate job here, and by all means seems to be suited to take the full-time AD job here as well.
Yeah, I was before I had heard anybody pronounce her name, I was hoping that it was pronounced Goats, because obviously it would be great to have the goat in office, right? Any reaction to that? Barta retiring, trying to get out. Anybody care in this podcast? Or
don't care a whole lot, to be honest with you.
It will be interesting as things line up. The new AD will most likely make hires in probably, you know, with how long ADs usually stick around, probably all of the major sports at Iowa. Like Coach Ferentz, he's on the back half of his career. Fran, there's a lot of talk that he could be done soon. Bluter has been doing it forever. And then potentially others as well. I mean, Brands has been around for a while. It's a really, really important job that they're about to fill here. And I don't know. I think most people at this point feel like they can't get it wrong. At least they can't get any worse. I think that people are just easy to judge on positions. They have no idea what entails in a position, and that jobs are a lot harder than people think. And I don't know.
Yeah. But definitely comes in at a very interesting time in college sports, not only going to have to make new hires or contract extensions on current coaches, but just with the way NIL is kind of shaping the current and future state of college athletics, along with, you know, media rights and organizations, like how all that money is getting kind of blown up, but also, you know, among different entities, not just TV, you have streaming coming in and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot on the plate of an AD these days.
It's not easy to be an AD. You guys see this video? Jack.
Oh, Campbell, yeah, I did see that.
got engaged, asked, I believe her name's Megan. Yeah, Megan Meyer to marry him. They're going to get married. And this is her absolutely form tackling him off of a wakeboard.
Stroke of the chest, man. That's good form. You don't want to strike at the head. That'll ring your bell a little bit. You don't want to hit the shoulder. That's how you tear labrums.
Look at her bring the hips.
Would have liked her to run her feet a little bit more, but I understand that's difficult to do in this situation.
But I know this is a little bit obscure here, but look at the dick-to-dick contact, right? She brought the hips, right? I mean, that's the coaching point, Kev, right?
That was a coaching point. I'm not going to lie. Yes, it was.
It doesn't really apply here. We'll say hip to hip. But this is an incredible form tackle.
No, because hip to hip can mean several different things. Could be side to side, hip to hip.
True.
Dick to dick. There ain't no confusing what that means, right?
Well,
that's
nowadays,
why it was actually a great coaching point.
Nowadays, Kev, there might be some confusion around dick to dick. I don't know in today's society. Drake, no smart ass comment on that.
It's a cool video.
Oh, I thought you were gonna have a fun comment on dick to dick and Mulvaney or something like that. Let's go back to here. Did you guys see this one? Let's exit out of that and then go. This one, I didn't like.
Oh no. See, Wisconsin used to have a cool brand, man. Like they were just a bunch of tough dudes. And then I thought I liked Luke Fickell, but yeah. The stuff coming out of Wisconsin media this offseason has been cringeworthy at best.
A lot of people were like, hey man, it's what the kids like these days. And then they're like posting videos of Iowa's strength conditioning like montage.
These dudes got eye black on in the weight room. Like
he's wearing a fucking
my affinity for eye black.
Like
what the fuck are they doing?
This guy stole the purge mask from the Northwestern players and put it on to do a back squat set.
And he's not even getting close to depth. Can we point that out?
Yeah, he's getting hyped up, and he's going 80% of the way down.
70.
And I think the man might only have 405 on the bar. I mean, I tweeted, I said respectfully, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen. And I had a bunch of little badger cucks in my replies. Yeah, you would. You're the one who loves a fucking racist program. You're the one who has a fucking coach whose daddy won't fire him. I don't have shit, boys and girls. What I have is two eyes, and I'm watching Northwestern 2.0 happen in front of my face here at the old Wisconsin weight room.
You know, word on the street was like they spend like $100,000 on the lights for this video.
Yeah, I was told I saw a strength coach who said he had. Who had good sources that it was well into five figures, so at least 10,000 on just the lighting for this video.
It's a Steve Aoki concert.
But no, you want a good weight room hype video? Is you find a guy who can hang clean 450 four times, and then you just get his teammates around him to watch him do it.
Yeah,
that's all you got to do.
But you got to build somebody that can hang clean 450 for that many times first.
Well, that's true. Not a lot of people out there like that. Did you see how big? I know we talked about him being 360 or whatever, but did you see how big he looked in the Instagram he posted today? My goodness.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy.
Can move. And he can move, man. We had a.
Oh, does anyone know? I want to know. What did Caitlin Clark shoot on her round? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
I'm very curious.
I want to say she's. Did I see it? +8.
Really? She's good, huh?
Yeah, she's pretty good at golf.
Damn.
+8's getting it in the cup.
That's what Kevin was
after like five holes when we played.
Kevin had a rough day when we played.
I want to say she was +8. Like I mean, obviously, right? She's an incredible
swing looks
athlete.
Good.
Yeah. Better than me. And
that's
a little
not saying much, but yeah.
No, I mean, a little club twirl. I mean, right down the fucking pipe, too.
Yeah.
Her and Zach Johnson got to golf together at the John Deere Classic. Decent. We should probably get ahead of that and ask Zach and Caitlin, to be honest, to be a part of our golf tournament, which is happening.
I think we're going to go 0-2 there, but you know what? Shoot for the sky.
No. When Drake was there, when we had him on the show, he said, hey, if you hit me up far enough out, I will try and put that on the calendar and make your charity golf event.
That would be electric.
So
he did say that, dude. It's
he said it.
And I also didn't get the invite for that podcast. So that was,
that was
a really tough L for you to take that day, but
We did mention that we were getting on, and it was just at a time when you couldn't be on.
Yeah, you gave me like an hour heads up or something like that.
Yeah, well.
Got somebody open on the table.
Close them up. You know, close them up. Fuck's going on in Evanston, huh? Car washes?
It's bad.
There's a lot of weird shit that happens. There's a lot of weird shit that happens in locker rooms, but I've got to say, this is the weirdest thing I've ever fucking heard of.
I mean, when I read it, I thought I was reading some weird, like, fucked up fan fiction, like, novel. It didn't even sound real, like this would be going on in a college football locker room. This article comes with a content warning, so I'll just give the listeners a content warning for who hasn't heard this stuff. I'm not going to read it all, but they had something called running, which immediately made me think of, like, they're running trains in the locker room. Like, what's going on here? If a player was selected for running, the player who spoke to the Daily said, they would be restrained by a group of 8 to 10 upperclassmen dressed in various purge-like masks who would then begin dry-humping the victim in a dark locker room.
Why was the locker room dark, though? I'm very confused by that.
Somebody hit the lights, please. You know?
Dude, yeah, we lost to these fucking weirdos.
Yep, we did. We lost to them
twice.
Twice. The Daily obtained images of whiteboards labeled Runs Giving and Shrek's List, containing a list of names indicating players that the player said needed to be ran.
Listen, boys, if that happened in our locker room, like, I'd have been in jail. I'd have killed somebody for that.
Right. I mean, this is like, what is going on? They talked about how at practice they would do some weird thing where they would, like, clap over a player's head, and then they, like, had some weird, like,
the signal that they were going to run.
And then they talked about how, like, there was video of Fitzgerald doing it, and that was like they're in on him or them claiming that he knew about it. And they said everyone would just be looking at each other like, bro, Fitz knows about this, because you wouldn't take that action otherwise. Everybody joins in because he's the head coach. Some really weird shit, man. What was the other one?
The car wash.
Yeah, let me see if I can find that. I mean, I'm not going to say that some clean suspect fun isn't had in a locker room full of a bunch.
Kevin has clean suspect fun after fourth beer.
So yeah. we need to get him two more here.
Well, I didn't really finish that sour, so.
Freshmen being forced to perform additional hazing acts while naked. Among them were the so-called car wash, where a player would stand at the entrance of the team shower, forcing others entering the showers to rub against them on the way in.
I mean, that's just weird, man. Like, I've got it. Put this out there. My brother played at Northwestern from 2009 to 2012. And when asked,
was Pat car washing these guys?
He said none of that was happening when he was there, and he didn't know or hear about any of that happening.
I had to imagine that your parents probably had, like, a little gut reaction to this when they first saw it, because they're like, fuck, did Pat get, like, touched or something? I mean, now Pat's a big dude. He ain't letting nobody touch him.
No, my parents were not all that concerned about it. like you said, Pat's a very big dude. Plus, you know, they got to know Coach Fitzgerald pretty well.
Well, and that's the thing here is that we're going to get into, because this, spin it any way you want, the probably a bad way to describe it, but the taste this leaves in your mouth is a similar one to the Iowa stuff that went down 3 years ago.
A little familiarity.
And there are some differences. I think it was Lystico maybe who put out a quick article that said something about, like, yeah, this is very much sort of like the scandalous news that came out of Iowa 3 years ago. Here are some very clear differences, and here's what's similar. I don't really think we need to speculate on that. Nobody even really knows what's true in either instance. A ton of people still don't know what's true in the Iowa instance. You know, even though those fucking players were on in depositions and proven to have lied, but no big deal, right? I tend to side at least with Fitz and the program until anything's proven without a doubt. And maybe that's just, again, the player perspective. Like, everybody says Fitz is a good dude. Everyone who knows him has, like, up until this point has respected him like crazy. I'm not saying there's no way that these things couldn't have happened, or that he, if they were happening, that he didn't know about it or what. But man, I just, I've already seen an article where one player was claiming that another player was the one who talked and made up all the shit so that he could get Fitz out because he had a personal vendetta.
Yeah. I mean, there's the narrative, there's the counter narrative to everything. I just find interesting in the timeline, right, is apparently the whistleblower came forward to someone in the university back last fall.
Yes.
And they started an investigation that lasted like 6 months.
Yep, 6 month investigation.
And then like a week ago, they published that there was an investigation and that they came out with a 2 week suspension.
Okay, so, you know, take it for what you will. This is from Bro Bible. But a current Northwestern player who asked to remain anonymous also told ESPN on Sunday that the former player, whose hazing allegations late in 2022 launched the investigation, informed him of a detailed plan with the sole objective to take down Fitzgerald. The current player on Sunday relayed a conversation he said he had earlier this year with the former player to Northwestern trustees and other influential university figures. Quote, he just kept emphasizing, yeah, it'll be okay. I'm just trying to get Coach Fitz fired, the current player told ESPN. I don't think he ever acknowledged what he's saying is not true. It was just like, I might embellish or exaggerate to get Coach Fitz fired. He said,
and that makes sense, right? Because after that investigation, the university decided behind closed doors that 2 weeks was appropriate, right?
Right.
Then articles come out, which it's none media. Of this has been corroborated. You have this person saying that a lot of it's bullshit. I think there was like a statement put out by
the team, quote,
the entire football team or whatever.
Yeah.
Saying that it was bullshit too. I don't know how much weight to put behind that, 'cause I didn't see anyone sign their actual names to it.
Sure.
But I'm going to guess that the allegations are not as bad as were reported. Otherwise, you got to imagine that he gets fired
right away
in the first one, right? From the first original decision.
100%.
Either that, or there's the possibility that Northwestern, being a private institution, they don't have to release the details there.
No, they don't.
And they're hoping naively that this is going to get swept under the rug and nothing that's going to come up to light. Now, that's just a dumb thing to say, because you think this whistleblower is going to accept a 2 week suspension. No, the first thing he's doing is calling up the newspapers, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know exactly where it's somewhere in there, right?
It's,
I doubt it's as bad as the articles say, but I also doubt it was, I don't know.
Coach Ferentz,
the 2 week suspension might have actually got him fired, right? If they come out and suspend him for like several months, a couple games, maybe they can stand by that.
Yeah. You bring up a good point there. Coach Ferentz always used to say, and this was in relation to kind of how we were doing as a team, but he always used to say, hey, it's probably not as bad as people are saying it is, and it's probably not as good. It's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, and if this stuff was happening, what do you guys think is the likelihood that he knew about it?
So that's a really good question, because someone brought that up in the Discord and said, if this was happening and Coach Fitz somehow didn't know about it, I don't know how that would work. And I responded with, it was in relation to, like, if this was on the whiteboards in the locker room, how would you not know that as the head coach? And I told the Discord, I was like, you guys would be shocked at how little KF actually spent time in the players' locker room.
Walk through after practice every now and then.
Every now and then. Yeah. Right. Real quick. Just kind of like, you know, if
we also got position coaches walking through there every now and then too. It was like
position coaches more. They like that, you know, they try to keep that as a space for the guys intentionally. Right. A little bit, you know, there's a little bit of privacy. You know, you got your, first of all, you're changing in there. It's
You know, 100 naked dudes in there too. It's not exactly a place you go to hang out.
It's not like where you're having a serious conversation. Right. I could see him not knowing about it.
Some stuff, like if the alleged car wash, which supposedly happened like once a year, I can see him not knowing about.
Right.
If it's accurate, like how prevalent the running thing was, that is something I have a hard
not
time
sure believing. How you would get away with that without
that's something I have a hard time believing that coach's staff was not aware of, especially if it was prevalent and done often to a bunch of guys.
I gotta be honest, man, like even the idea of what I read there, 8 to 10 upperclassmen holding somebody down in purge,
right,
mask,
stay quiet, that
like, it doesn't even sound real. Like it sounds so far-fetched that and here's the thing, right? Like, has the Northwestern team been told not to say anything? Because if it wasn't true, and these are like, and these are fully made up, right? And this is just like the weirdest shit that the entire team has ever heard of. Then why aren't any current players coming out and be like, yo, this isn't what happens. Like, this isn't.
Well, there was that statement, like I said, that said this is bullshit, basically.
They were
signed by the entire team, but no one actually signed it. So I don't know how valid it is.
I don't either. The action taken by the university here is what is the most interesting to me. 2-week suspension, and it was super quiet and low key at the beginning.
Later, he's fired.
In the initial report, it said something like, "The university has decided not to release the details of the investigation, and yada yada." And it's because they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I first read it and I was like, huh, Fitz is suspended. That's odd. 2 weeks, probably nothing crazy.
Sorry. That was my original thoughts too. It's like, all right, 2 weeks in the middle of July, coaches ain't doing jack shit anyway. It's like, right. They go on vacation in July.
So, and Kev, this actually provoked a tweet from you, which is rare.
Yeah.
And you said something along the lines of interesting timing. Either way, they got it wrong with the 2-week suspension.
So like this is kind of what I was saying. It's either the report showed that things were as bad as reported,
mm-hmm.
but they were hoping it wouldn't get out, slapped a 2-week suspension on the wrist, and then it got out and they, you know, okay, well shit, now we got to fire him. Or they just didn't have the balls to stick by their original decision. And the report comes out and people are up in arms calling for his head and they don't stand by what their original conclusions are of the original report, right?
And so, which
there could be a little bit of trial by the mob here too, you know?
Exactly. I think in a very similar way, I mean, again, at this point, it feels like there was more against Doyle than there was against Fitz even. Personally, out there, known for sure to be truth. And you know how I stand. I think Doyle got shafted. Like, I think this is one of those things where in today's day and age, if there's a big organization or company or team and something happens like this, the mob is simply not happy until someone's head falls. And I think Northwestern caved.
And probably, and again, this is not a alumni base that cares a whole, like,
no,
as much about their football team as a lot of other universities do, right?
Clearly.
And it's a private institution that gets a lot of private booster funds.
Yeah.
So it could just be like, hey, you had like 3 boosters that say we're going to pull the plug unless
Fitz
is gone.
And well,
that could tip things over the edge, you know?
And there happens to be an $800 million stadium renovation plan in place for the Northwestern Wildcats, which those boosters are going to obviously be heavily involved in. And, you know, they could easily say, hey, guess what? My $50 million on the project is no longer guaranteed unless you guys figure this shit out. And yeah.
And you know, the money can go both ways on that. It's like, hey, if you fire him, I pull my money.
True.
But it doesn't seem like anyone came to bat for Coach Fitz in the last week or so.
And which is wild to me with how well-respected he was. Arguably the most respected coach in the Big Ten behind Kirk Ferentz.
I mean, the second most tenured, and this is the first time I think that anything bad has ever been reported about him.
Grant's sharing a tweet here that says, 6 Northwestern faculty members are asking university leaders for the hazing investigation report to be revealed publicly, according to a letter obtained by ESPN. They also want the they didn't put million on this, but $800 million Ryan Field rebuild project put on hold, quote, until this crisis is satisfactorily resolved.
And I don't know if you guys have seen the specs on that thing. That's actually going to look like a pretty cool stadium.
It's so sick. And they're not building it big because they know they can't fill it. So it was going to be like a nice, tight feel to it. Mm-hmm. Clip that. It's weird, man. It's weird to me. And now they've gotten themselves into some shit because Coach Fitz came out with a statement after he was fired saying, I was very shocked that the president or whoever made this decision unilaterally acted against our 2-week decision that we came to together. And so now he has hired some big shot lawyer from Chicago.
And he's going to get paid too.
And he's going to get absolutely paid. Lauren looked at me yesterday. She goes, well, they just fired him out of the 2 week. Like they didn't let it play out. Like he's going to get paid a fuckload of money to just go
owed like $40 million for his contract.
He just signed a contract for 10 years in 2020.
Yeah. So he's going to get paid a lot of that because again, the original decision was a 2-week suspension backed by reporting without any outside influences. You can easily go to court and say,
clearly something changed.
Bullshit. Or you could clearly go to say and say, details got out in public that may or may not be true. You know, obviously he's going to argue that they're false, right?
Yes.
And I'm being wrongfully terminated. Pay me my money. So I think Northwestern is just fumbling the bag here, step after step.
Yeah.
Sure. And, Fitz was a good coach for Northwestern.
I was just going to say, let's talk implications because
he was an All-American there.
Great player.
Yeah, he came back to be the linebackers coach and eventually a head coach.
He
got them to a competitive program where they used to just be the dirt stomps of the Big Ten.
He was what Nebraska wanted out of Coach Scott Frost. He was the golden boy, played for him, came back, became the coach, and made them competitive. Now, Nebraska, arguably much higher ceiling than Northwestern, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, it made him competitive in a very difficult school to do so, right? Hard to recruit there. You know, don't have a huge fan base, don't pack a stadium. It's like hard to get good high school recruits to go there. So to be competitive, to win bowl games, to appear twice in the Big Ten title game.
Back to back, right?
19 not back to back, I don't think. Oh. I think it was 2018-2020.
Yeah, okay.
Still, he was going to coach there for another 30 years if he
was. I was just going to say, there was not a damn thing that could happen almost that would get
coached. We talked about that.
Did we?
Yeah. We talked about that months ago, it could have even been when he signed his extension, but it was a while ago. Mm. We talked about, there's nothing Coach Fitz can do. He'll retire there.
Yeah, I thought he had the most job security in the country as far as college coaches.
Because he was a guy.
You're at it, you know. Again, your alma mater for a
contract till 2030. Not anymore, but was.
Yeah. You're at your alma mater. You're doing pretty well. And you're at a school that doesn't have super high expectations year after year. Like he would have been there for forever.
He would have had
Now, the last 2 years have been bad. They've been
rough.
Bad.
Rough.
Does he still get fired if they are not bad these last 2 years?
Oof, good question. Like if they're
Was this maybe, this is the other thing I was maybe thinking about. Is this like, hey, things aren't going well. This could be our way out of a $40 million contract. Getting fired for cause.
True. I don't know, man. That's, those are big decisions with big dollar signs behind them. And it seems so, fuck. I don't know. But the implication here is, and I think Doctorman wrote an article on this. Who better than Fitz is going to come and coach the Northwestern Wildcats?
Northwestern is going to be horrible again for the next 5 years.
At least
laugh very hard.
Probably 10.
Because if,
no way.
That's bullshit.
Grant is sharing an article on Twitter that says just in, former LSU head coach Ed Orgeron, quote, would have interest in coaching at Northwestern, but has not heard yet from the school. If that's legit, I would love to see Ed O in the Big Ten.
That would be hilarious. I mean, I couldn't think of a worse matched pair in college football. But
how you doing, Coach Barron? Good to be here in kindergarten. Go Cats. Go Wildcats.
But yeah, I mean, you're already seeing Northwestern decommits. I got to imagine there's going to be a lot of people transferring out of there, especially if
oh, yeah.
You know,
especially
the
if they're getting car washed. Strongly, you know?
That they need to put a statement out there defending Coach Fitz. I don't see Northwestern being good, even remotely, in the next 5 years.
I would say there that they become the immediate dumpster of the West, especially with what Bilema's doing in Illinois. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen in Purdue with the recent departure of Jeff Brohm. But and they're now going to compete with Maryland and Rutgers for the bottom of the Big Ten. I mean, Maryland's got a quarterback right now, at least. Northwestern's win total for 2023 is 3.5 for the 2023 regular season, tied with Indiana and Rutgers for the lowest in the Big Ten.
Yep. I'm going to have to check that schedule. Might be an under bet.
I think we're going to do one of those here. We'll do like a little Big Ten preview before we get to the season. But man, this is, it feels icky to me. It feels icky. Like it did when the Iowa shit went down. It feels like, and I don't want
to
say
again, to me, like this could be completely wrong, but it feels media and social media driven, right? Like
it does
public
yeah.
pressure driven.
Because
again, like they came out with that 6 month long report and said 2 weeks.
I know. It's just
like,
weird.
I get it, man. Like, I don't know. You are the head coach. You are responsible for everything that goes down. Your
Absolutely.
Program.
Absolutely. But you have to put your hand in the air and say, hey, it's my program. Even if I don't know every single thing that happens, I'm still on the hook for every single thing that happens.
Exactly. Right. And you I can guarantee you that every single head coach, the next team meeting everywhere across the country is saying, holding an article of this shit. It's like, there is no fucking hazing going on in this building.
Coach Ferentz walks into the room.
You guys.
Let's get it going here. Aren't? You guys see this Northwestern shit, aren't? Coach Fitz? Evidently, they're fucking touching dicks in the locker room or something. Okay.
What you guys do at home? That's between you guys, but you know.
You guys want
to get me fucking fired doing it? Huh?
Do you guys want to fucking what does it say here? You guys want to do naked car washes back at the fucking dorms? Have at it. Right, be my fucking guest. But if you think the 2002 team was doing this fucking Mickey Mouse bullshit, okay, you're fucking wrong. All right, you can get your ass out of here. Devo, 45 minutes.
I think if it was as bad as reported, then yeah, you probably should have gotten fired originally. Because
absolutely, it's a 100%. You're out. You're gone immediately.
But it just doesn't feel valid what was reported to me. I don't know, because Northwestern is supposedly a prestigious institution with smart people. They would have to know, even though the report is private. Stuff gets out, right? People talk
these days. Maybe in 2003, this stays under wraps, but nothing's under wraps anymore.
No.
So I
imagine if the private report were made public, that the claims made in the articles wouldn't be as they wouldn't line up, right?
Yeah. I will say this. If somehow, some way they find out like that all this is true, potentially the wildest shit to happen in like college sports history. I mean, just like they're having a girls gone wild session in the locker room. They're shooting OnlyFans vids in the locker room. No consent.
Yeah. Again, if you want to do weird shit in the locker room, do weird shit. That's like the place to do weird shit. Just make sure, you know, like everyone's cool with doing weird shit.
I've slapped your naked ass, Kev.
You have? Yeah. Yeah. I think I've whipped a towel at you before.
Yeah, absolutely. It's what guys do. I watched Jaleel and Faith naked slapbox each other on the regular.
I saw Drake and another person who had had a certain procedure when they were a child comparing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, don't hold somebody down, right, with a purge mask? I don't know. Weird shit.
Grant, you got any, it's dinner time.
Grant, you got any thoughts on this? Time. Grant, you want to ruin your future career by offering some opinions on the Northwestern hazing allegations? He's not even bringing himself in.
No.
Okay. I think
you guys covered it fine.
If you don't open your mouth, they can't cancel you.
That's what they said in the Northwestern locker room. That's it. We're going to try a couple more beers as the podcast go on by back pocket. But shout out to them for sending us free shit. If you want to send us free shit, hit me up or the Walk-Ons account. Sign up for the Patreon to see the barn tour that Grant put together from Nashville. We appreciate all of you savages for listening to the podcast. A couple fun episodes coming up. Drake brought on one of his MMA coaches that was just the most wild shit that we had ever listened to. It's actually crazy.
Actually wilder than the Northwestern locker room shit, I think.
More crazy than the Northwestern locker room, and that's not a lie. We'll see you next time. Talk to you then. Peace.
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Wow. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.